I tell people, I said, when you say amen, it's like throwing fuel on a fire. Makes you just you might preach a little bit longer. So if you quit saying it, that don't mean I'm going to preach shorter. So don't try that. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. Go start reading in verse 1 and let's just look there together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And I've got something going on here, so okay, I appreciate it. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Famous words from a famous chapter in the Bible. But I want to preach to you today on a message dealing with the church. Something I feel that God had placed in my spirit the other day. I want to preach to you this morning on we cannot lose the majesty. We cannot lose the majesty. And I want to talk to you today about worship and what it is. And even some, maybe what the Sunday school lesson touched on some. But how many knows today that worship is important? That it's part of the life of the church that we must have worship. And that word worship, many of you know, this origin of that word is worship, which means this is how much this means to me. You can look at some people in this world and you can tell how much certain things mean to them by the way they dress, by the way the things they say, by their just different things they're doing. You can say, look, that means a lot to them. And I want to talk to you today about we cannot lose our majesty. Because us as a New Testament church, our worship should create wonder in every service that you are in. Every service that you come in, there ought to be a sense of majesty, a sense of wonder about the service. Not because you're here, but because He is here. We must understand today there must be a strong feeling and respect and reverence in every service. A sense of majesty, a sense of awe, we would say. You ever heard that word awe? Before A-W-E, that word all there means an emotion combining dread, veneration, and wonder that is inspired by authority, by the sacred and the sublime. It means a feeling of fear or respect or wonder. And my friend, we ought to have a sense of awe and wonder in every service that we come in. We cannot lose that sense of majesty. We cannot lose that sense of wonder in our services. If we do, you know, we are called a dead church. If there is no wonder, if there is no awesomeness of God's presence, if there is no gracing of God's presence here, then we would be considered a dead church. We can read in Psalms 33 and 8, it says this, Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. I'm going to ask you today in this service, have you been in the service this morning? Have you been awestruck by the presence of God? If you have not had that encounter, if you have not been awestruck, stuck in this service, then we're missing something as an individual or corporately or however you like to put it. There ought to be wonder in every single service. You know what the problem is? We have become too describable in our church world. We've got words to explain everything that we're going through in church. But isn't it amazing? I looked up, there are 988,968 words in the Whisper's Dictionary. And it's a beautiful thought today to think about the services that I've been in. Not neither one of those 988,000 words could I find to describe what I felt in my spirit. But hear me today, we cannot lose that majesty. We cannot become anything that is describable every time we deep in the depths of your soul that is majestic, that is awesome, that it may lead you in a state of awe every single service. And if that is not here, we're wasting our time. God, reestablish in our hearts once again the divine, omnipotent presence of God that comes down, that changes lives, that people cannot deny that they are the presence of a thrice holy God. We need that every single service. We need it today. We need it right now, even while I'm preaching. We've become so ground level in church. We see the pews, we see the pulpit, we see the singers, we see the choir, we just see the preacher. If that's all you've seen in the service, we're wasting our time. If all you see today is me, then you're wasting our time. If all you see is your neighbor, then you're wasting your time. We've got to see God in the service. We've got to witness His presence. We've got to know that He is here. I love it, friends, when we have services where we cannot articulate what we're going through and we are compelled just to fall back on words such as, oh my. I love to see when somebody is underneath us, be it they're shouting underneath the Spirit of God, be it they're being touched in the altars, but all they can do is lift their hands to heaven. All they can say is, oh my Lord, oh my God. That's all they can say, because there's nothing they can describe. That feeling that is inside of them, it is majestic, it is real, it is indescribable. Church, do not let us lose our all. Do not let us lose that majesty in our services. We need to have a visitation of the presence of God that we cannot even describe. And we can leave here today and say, look, I am awestruck by what I felt in that service.
Amen. Amen.
Awestruck. You can see things in this world that will leave you awestruck. You look at it and say, oh, that is beautiful. I don't even know how to react in it. But our services, if the world can produce that, how much more should a moving of the Holy Ghost produce that when there's a God in heaven that is infinite, that's undescribable, and that is transcendent about Father what we are? How much more if His presence is in the room, how much more should we leave here and say, oh my gracious, that was wonderful, that was great, that was life-changing. And I friend, hear me today. We need to understand, we need to be awestruck today. You are in the presence of a thrice holy God, and if you have not felt His presence in service, I would reevaluate my life. If you have not responded to His presence in service, I reevaluate my life. When we bow down and kiss the scepter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, hear me today, friend. You are in the presence of the God of Heaven. It's amazing to think, if the president would walk through the doors, how everybody would just act different. Lord, you could just take a senator from Virginia and it would change the way we'd tug our jacket a little bit. We'd take that necktie and be like, oh. We would probably say, how you doing, Mr. Senator? You wouldn't say, hey, what's up, man? You would address him because of the position he's in, because of who he is. But it is amazing that we come to the house of God and we act like he's not here at times. We don't really just kind of sit there. My God, today, friend, there ought to be something inside of you to say, God's in this building. God's in this service. God's here to touch. God's here to heal. God's here to save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost. Hear me today, friend. We've got to reinstate the majesty of God on Almighty in our services. There ought to be something to happen today that will make you gasp.
Yes, hallelujah.
It should be here.
Hallelujah.
It should be here.
Yes.
It's amazing how you can just say, I'm just telling you what God's put in my spirit.
Amen.
Take it up with Him. I can't help. I'm a preacher what He gives me.
That's right.
It's all I know how to do. I'm a Holy Ghost preacher. God gives me something. I've tried to do it in the flesh a few times. It just, everybody just smile and clap their hands. And that's not what I'm looking for. Not looking for the approval of man. No, I'm just looking for God to move in our church. And I'm telling you what God's put in my spirit. He's told me in my heart that our services and our lives become too describable. Where is the all of God in our services? Hear me today, friend. It becomes too weak, too anemic to the place. I like reading the Bible what Paul went through. He said this in 2 Corinthians 12:3, and I knew such a man, whether in body or out of body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He came back and said, I can't even talk about it. I can't even describe what happened. I can't even put it. It's not even lawful for me to talk about these things. Hear me today, friend. I would once again that in our services we can leave here and say it's not in the English language. It's not in our vocabulary. It's not even lawful to touch on it because God did something. Somebody did this. Somebody got saved. Somebody went through this. And then we would leave here and we would become completely awestruck in the presence of God. Now just examine yourselves. Let's talk to us. We're friends. I love you. You love me, I hope. And I want you to love me. And that's why I struggle sometimes because I try to be a likable guy. And I know I fail miserably at times, but I want you to like me. I do. It's just the way I am. I don't like confrontation. And sometimes as a preacher, my Lord, you're always there. It's just I hate to go talk to this person about this, or I hate to call up this person about this. And you're racking your brain, you're praying. I'm venting to my wife, Lord knows she hears it all the time, and say, I really do not feel like talking about this with this individual because I know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to blow up, get mad. Hear me today, but we look at this. I want you to like me, but at times as a pastor, I must tell you that we need to edify the body to the place that His awesome presence is nigh us every service, and we know that He's here, and that God's Spirit is moving so fluently in every individual life that we see a spontaneous, uncontrollable flowing of the Holy Ghost. We need that awestruckness in our service again.
Yes, we do.
I've had the privilege of being in a few, but it's everywhere. You find people fall right back in the same rut they got out of. Have a good service at a camp meeting. It's amazing. Yeah. Leaving there with victory. 1 week later, they're sitting back in the same pity party. They're sitting back in the same place they were just a week before they went to a camp meeting. My God, help us again. That we can learn that there's a moving of God's Spirit that could change us. Let me ask you the question today. When was the last time you were captivated by the service you were in? I hope it was recent. I don't know. But when was the last time you were just utterly captivated? You know, when you're captivated by something, you don't really look around a lot, you know. You're captivated, and it's kind of like the focal point's on that object. And there you're captivated. You see the beauty of it. You know it's there. And there it just, you would have to say to yourself, it just captivates everything you're doing. It didn't matter if you were doing something, you get sidetracked and you focus on that. Isn't that amazing? I believe today that the Holy Ghost, my friend, He wants to come into service. He wants every one of us to be captivated by His presence once again. Where it didn't matter what we had on our mind. It didn't matter what we were going through. But instantaneously, everything just seems to disappear in the presence of the Lord. Hear me today, friend. We need to witness that in our churches once again. If it's in your church, in our church, in any church, if it's there, sinners and visitors will walk in and they'll instantly be arrested by His presence. You know, we lean on the arm of flesh a lot. We'll say, well, maybe we can get them in if we do this. Or maybe if we're this nice to them. Or maybe if we chase them all over the community, buy them a cheeseburger, you know, buy them some of this. Maybe they'll be interested in coming to the house of God. My friend, I've bought enough sinners' cheeseburgers. I've sat down at enough restaurants and tried to coach people into serving Jesus. I've sat down in council till I was blue in the face. But nothing has ever substituted to when the presence of God was in a service. And they came in and they said that and had to say, oh my Lord, my God, His presence is here. This is no longer Brother Terry, but it's the presence of God. We've got to have that in our services or we'll never experience a revival.
Yes. Yes.
So predictable. I don't like being predictable myself. I just don't like it. I don't want to be like, you'll find Brother Derek here at this time and at this time and this time. That's good in some things. Don't get me wrong. But we should not be predictable. We should not be trying to beat the other denomination anywhere. Look, there's going to be steakhouses 7 days a week. There'll be a cheeseburger any day of the week, chicken sandwiches, you name it. You just ain't going to get a Chick-fil-A today. It's closed. But hear me, you're going to get a sandwich just about anywhere, any day of the week. Food is a dime a dime. It's everywhere. And look, there'd be enough athletics around in this world. There's no need to get in a rush when we get in the presence of God. But we could say, my Lord, I am awestruck by His presence. Here I am. God is that good. And it just changes everything about the atmosphere. It changes you. And it changes the person sitting beside you. And if there's a sinner there, they'll feel conviction for their sins. I'll tell you what a lot of holiness churches have resorted to. Old saying was, if you see a dog walking down the road with a pork chop in his mouth, old pork chop bone in his mouth, logic says, don't go up and try to pull the pork chop bone out of his mouth. He's going to bite you. Especially a pit bull, some of those big ones, you know, big dogs. Now look, you just don't do that. I wish we had that same concept in the church. But you know what you do? You find you a good old ribeye steak somewhere, and you go up to the dog and you take the ribeye and you lay that down. And when the dog gets the scent of the ribeye in his mouth, in his nose, he's not going to worry about that old dry pork chop bone that he has. Because he is experiencing something that is far greater and far better. Look, we've got a lot of professionals in the church that will tell you how to get the pork chop out of the dog's mouth, but they never provide anything better to feed him with. Brother Derek, I had preachers. Brother Derek, you need to preach against this, this, and this. I'm sure. Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, I know they're doing that wrong. I know, brother. Brother, I know. I can't chase them over. Look, I know this. I know that. You know, Brother Derek, they've been saved for how many months? You need to do this, this, and this. And I'm thinking to myself, my Lord, it doesn't do no good trying to snatch that old dry, fleshly bone out of their mouth if we're not serving prime rib on Sunday morning and prime rib on Sunday night. Let them come to the house of God. They'll drop the dryness. They'll drop the flesh. And they'll embrace that which is lively, wholesome, and protein. They'll take hold of that which has flavor and drop that which is dead. But don't be surprised if we have 20 years and some still got a pork chop bone in their mouth, and we have yet to, I'm just saying anywhere, we've got to understand, we've got to reintroduce the awesome presence, the uninterrupted, when the river of the Spirit controls you and we don't control the Spirit. You know, we talk about Ezekiel's river a lot. Ankle deep, you know, knee, loin. These asshole waters, you have to swim in them, you know? You know a lot of people, you know why a lot of people in the Spirit of God stop ankle deep? Because they still have control. You know? I was at the mountains and I weighed out in that little creek there. And it was moving pretty good, just rained the night before. But I stood right up, it didn't move me. But then you go, let's say loin deep. A lot of people even go that far, you know. They get loin deep in the things of God, and you know, they're still like being loin deep and don't want to go no further. They're still in control. They're still in a way, yes, they can feel the pressure, they can feel the current of the river, but yet they still have a base there, they still can have a little say-so. But you know what, there's very few in God help us all that goes into the waters that's over our head. That means your foot's not on the ground. That means when the Holy Ghost moves this way, you go that way. If the Holy Ghost in the service will move this way, you go that way. The river will take control in your life. My God, help us, help me today. I'm telling you, friends, we've got to let that river take control. We've got to let the Holy Ghost take control, not only of our individual lives, but even our church. I want to move where the current of the Spirit of God wants to go. Ezekiel said, you can swim in them. It's that deep. So today, hear me today, friend. I'm going to talk to you. We're not going to have preaching tonight, so I'm going to preach this morning. Hear me today. I'm not going to get in too much of a rush here because I want you to understand what I'm talking about. We become too familiar with the divine, sublime presence of the Lord. We become too familiar with it. One of the biggest perils of the believer is getting accustomed to the things of God. To the place that we become guideposts when we need to be guides. You're not meant to be a guidepost. You're meant to be a guide. We indicate the way, yet do not find ourselves walking in it. We become professors and not pilgrims. There's a lot of things here today, friend. Our church has become workshops and not upper rooms. Not only that, we become analysts instead of guests at His table. We become absorbed in words but do not eat the words. Hear me today, friend. We become so used to the presence of God that we do not respond to it. I just experienced this in the secular the other week when I was on vacation. You know, you first pull into Tennessee and you see the mountains. I'm like this. Man, there's some pretty mountains. You know, you go up Cades Cove there and you're looking around and you're like, look, I went on the little back porch. Our family had a little condo. I went on the little back porch like a kid. I grabbed the rail, looked down at that little rail there. I looked down at that stream flowing underneath of us. I said, that is just a beautiful thing, isn't it? I mean, I thought it was beautiful. It was majestic. You look all around you and you're just captivated because you're not there all the time. But by the end of that week, I could care less if I saw a mountain. You know why? I was there all week. It's just like somebody that lives in the mountains. I know people that live in Shenandoah Valley. I say, it's beautiful up here. They say, it's all right. It's all right. But hear me, we have the same problem as believers. When we first get saved, we're looking at the mountain peaks of holiness. We're looking around at the majestic touch of God. We're looking around, we are encouraged by everything we see. We can't wait to get to church. We can't wait to read our Bible. We can't wait to pray. We can't wait to hear teaching. We can't wait to seek for the Holy Ghost. We can't wait to seek for more of God. We can't wait for this. And all of a sudden, a few years into it, we're looking around and says, what mountains? We're so used to this right here. What's the preacher anymore, you know? This is my life. Stay out of my business. Just teach me what I want you to teach me and be quiet. What's this? What's a preacher? What's a pulpit? I tell you what this is. These are the mountains that God established, and we are to keep a fresh, majestic, cultivated love for it. It doesn't matter who it is. Love the Word. Love the worship. Love the church. Whatever it is, love God with all of your heart. I remember one year, there was a certain roller coaster I wanted to ride so bad. And I said, I'm going to go ride this roller coaster, you know, sometime back. And, you know, brand new, number one in the country, you know. I got on that thing, boy, I'll tell you, I didn't have a part, I don't think, but it made a part. It was amazing. I got off of it. I said, man, that's the best thing. That's the funnest thing I've rode in a long, long time. And, you know, I went back to the same place. I ended up doing it two times in one year. I went back to the same place. I rode it again. It didn't have the same effect. I said, that was all right. But what it is, you get used to it. You get accustomed to it. And there's not that newness there. But hear me today, friend. You as a believer are to keep a freshness every single day of your life. You ought to be a relationship. Do not get used to the things of God. If you do, there's a term for it. And it's called lukewarm. Lukewarmness has invaded the Pentecostal church. And it sits in our services every Sunday night, every Wednesday. And no, it don't want to go any further in the things of God. You know, I'm making it to heaven and it kind of hunker down, you know. I'm going to heaven and I'm going to make it and God help us. That's not what God is looking for. He wants there to be majesty in every single service that we are in. Hear me today, friend. If we're not careful, we'll retain our philosophy, we'll lose our reverence and relationship. Let me ask you this question today. Have you been influenced and inspired by the Lord at any time in this service? And you haven't, something's wrong. You know, all worship services should have, if you don't mind me using the wording like this, a vortex to it. You ever heard of, you know, a tornado, when a tornado comes by, tornado, that's North Carolina for you. If a tornado comes by and it hits your house, guess which way your house is going? I mean, it's just, you get caught in that funnel cloud, and that funnel cloud creates some form of a vortex, has some sort of upward pull to it. But do you know today, friends, that worship should have an upward draw to it? I'm going to show you in the Bible.
When we read the story here, in the year that King Uzziah died, notice this, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. With twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Hear me today, friend. There ought to be a vortex. Isaiah, he walks into the temple. Yes, he's discouraged. But as soon as he walks in and he's discouraged, he looks up and he's... You know, he's not looking this way. We have a tendency of doing that. We can't get higher than this some service. He looked and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Hear me. He high and lifted up. There was something that drew his attention, almost like a vacuum. It just instantly grasped his attention. He was in the presence of an almighty God. Hear me today, friend. We read in John 12:32, and I told Jesus here, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We don't keep Jesus here. Holy, holy, holy. We are to lift Him up and He will draw all men unto Him. That word draw in the Bible has the implication of drag. Hear me today, friend. There needs to be a draw in our services. If there is no drawing in our services to God, think about it. There's churches up and down this road probably that has a ritual, has a program. But let me ask, are they drawing upward? Are they drawing the upward way? Hear me today, friend. If we have the majestic presence of God, if we have the divine touch of God in our services, you won't have to force anything. You know, we... You ever put together one of those puzzles? And I've never had the joy of putting together a 1,000-piece puzzle. I've tried it a few times, and I give out of gas pretty quick on that stuff. But you ever get to the place it looked like it fit? And I'm just to be honest with you. Sometimes I was so convinced that it did fit. I've taken a pocket knife one time and made it fit. I had convinced myself in my mind that it was a factory mess up. Just the truth. I said, that there's no way that piece has to go there. And I did my best. I forced and pulled and pushed. I just did my best, you know. And I tried to make it fit, and I did make it fit. But in a service where the presence of God is, where His majesty is, you ain't going to have to force nothing. I don't like being clammed up spiritually. I like when the Spirit can flow. I just like it that way. I don't like a bunch of miscellaneous thoughts in my mind when I'm worshiping. That's why sometimes you say, Brother Dick, you close your eyes for 10 minutes. Because I'm trying my best. Lord, speak to me. Just in my mind, I've got to focus on Him. I want to know what He wants. I want that in my, I don't want to force anything. I just want there to be a flow from the pulpit. I want there to be a flow in the service. I want the message to flow into your hearts. That's what I want it takes, being focused on God. But God's majesty, when it's present, when His anointing's here, you don't feel like you're trying to make anything fit. It just fits. And God helps it. Hear me today, friend. When the Spirit of God is in our services and His majesty is in our services, sinners, you ain't going to have to force Him to do anything. When the presence and the conviction of Almighty God is here, and all the saints are in agreement, and conviction is there. We've been praying. We've been fasting and seeking God for it. If it is there, you ain't going to have to coach a sinner to do anything. Conviction and conviction will find them, and they'll make the move.
That's right.
Yes?
That's right.
Not only that, friend.
Amen.
You don't have to beckon Christians a lot either. When the majestic power of God is there.
That's right.
I'm not a traffic cop. You know, it's not for, it ain't the preacher's job to follow anybody home to me.
Right.
Yes, I'm busy. I love eating and talking and fellowshipping. And yes, I'm here for counseling and talking. But look, you can't stand in every, you can't do everything. But when the Spirit of God is in the services, I've learned that God can move in one service. He can heal a multitude of issues. And the preacher or the preachers or the board or anybody will have to say nothing.
Right.
when His majesty is there.
Right.
You won't have to tell anybody, look, seek for more of God. You won't have to tell somebody, look, you should desire holiness.
Right.
And my Lord, help us once again get a glimpse of God and desire holiness.
Right.
People get more offended at holiness than they do sinfulness. It's a fact. You can preach with us, say it. You can preach modesty or whatever, and they'll find with this verse here and this verse here, and I'm trying to, you know, and they're trying to make it fit. When really, hear me today, friend. Holiness is still right. Hear me, my friend. You don't have to tell a Christian to seek God, to seek for the Holy Ghost, anything when the majestic presence of God is there, and even with children, parents, you produce an atmosphere of divine majestic presence of the Lord, you ain't going to have to force your kids to do anything, because if you're trying to force them, it ain't going to work anyhow.
Right.
Yeah, give them a whipping when they're wrong, but you ain't going to force your kid into serving the Lord.
Right.
For years, I was taught the things of God. For years, I was taught the Word. I went to Sunday school. I went to youth camp every summer. But him and my mom or nobody could force me to serve the Lord. Eventually, when I got into a service where God's majesty was there, I got saved and never looked back.
Amen.
You know why?
Amen.
Because God's majesty was there. I feel the presence of the Lord here at this service. And if nobody has seen the majesty of God yet, won't you just take that second and look around what God's doing in your life? Stand back and say, God, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Hear me today, friend. Holy, holy, holy. He is a magnificent God. His majesty was in the service already. He's in the service. When you walk through this door, I want to explain this, and I try not to take too much longer. But hear me today. Things happened that day when Isaiah walked into that temple. I've got 7 points. You've already heard my intro. First thing that happened, Isaiah walked into an earthly temple, but he seen a heavenly throne room. He walked into an earthly temple, but saw a heavenly throne room. Hear me today, friend. When you walked through the doors of the church this morning, what did you see? Did you see Abundant Life Tabernacle Sunday morning again? Oh, thanks for the bulletin, brothers. Sit down. What are we going to do for lunch? Is that all we've seen this service? When you walk in here, this is God's house. This is God's house. That pew you're sitting on, we believe, is God's pew. This pulpit I'm behind is God's pulpit. You didn't just walk in a building this morning. This is the body of Christ. This is the house of God. This is the throne room of God. You walked into a church today, and all you seen was, if all that you saw were just pews, a pulpit, what time it was, you've missed the majesty of God. Hear me. You've missed the majesty of God. We must once again understand. We are in the presence of God Almighty. Today we must look at this. These songs that we sang were God's songs. He should have control. Have you felt in the service? But not only did He walk in to an earthly place and sit a heavenly throne, but He walked in and God's holiness was revealed to Him. Not only God's holiness, but God's fullness was revealed. You'll find in Isaiah 6:1, His train filled the temple, and the whole earth was full of His glory, and the house was filled with smoke. We must understand today, you're in the presence of an Almighty God, and you should have been exposed to the fullness of God, this service and every service. You must understand, you are a needy people, and He is a big God. Isaiah walked in. He looked up. He saw God's holiness first and foremost. And as I said, if you ain't seen God's holiness yet, let's start over. God's a holy God. It should make you cry out, woe is me. There should be something that rises up inside of you that makes you want to go further in the things of God. But hear me, when you saw God's fullness, we would understand we are needy people that need to be filled with God's fullness every single service. He saw God's holiness. He saw God's fullness. But then Isaiah saw something else. He saw his own sinfulness. Hear me today. Every one of you underneath the sound of my voice, apart from the blood of Jesus and the grace of God, you're nothing. Don't get underneath the mentality that you came to God and gave Him a lot of resources. No, you didn't. You came to God and you were a needy person. You've been saved 5 years, you're still a needy person. You've been saved 10 years, 50, however long, you are still a needy person. We come into our churches and we have to understand every time you come in, there ought to be something inside of you that cries out with Isaiah that says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips, for my eye has seen the King and the Lord of hosts." You're going to cry out every service, "God, I'm born again and thank you for your grace, but woe is me this week. I could do more. I could do more, Lord. There's more that I could do for the things of God." Put it this way, there was angels there flying around the throne of God, wasn't it? I mean, just think about this. If you walked in one Sunday morning and seen angels flying around and saying, "Holy, holy, holy." But you have to think, these were angels. And as far as we know, other than those that fell, angels are not perfect, but they are sinless. They do not have that human nature. But think about it. If angels that have never smoked a cigarette, that have never drank a beer, that have never said a cuss word, that have never done nothing wrong, was compelled to say, "Holy, holy, holy," how much more should you as a human say, "Holy, holy, holy"? You ought to cry holy to the day you die. Holy, holy, this here ought to create a sense of unworthiness, not condemnation, but knowing that God is sovereign. We can look at the New Testament when it comes to Simon Peter. When Simon Peter saw it, talking about Jesus, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord," for he was astonished. You get that? Majesty. Astonishment. In this service, you ought to be astonished and fall at the feet of Jesus and cry out with Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" We ought to get at the feet of Jesus and know that He is holy and we are not. Not only did he see all this, but I want you to notice, and we'll close here. I got more points and we don't have time. But another thing that happened to Isaiah, when he got into the majestic presence of God, all of his worries were lifted away. Think about it. King Uzziah just died. Many believe, and I believe it was his uncle, died from leprosy. This was a big deal for Isaiah, being he was a man of position. It was his uncle. We know Uzziah did bad at the end of his life there, and all of you know the story in the Bible. But he comes to the temple. Isaiah's head, no doubt, is down. He's going there because he's looking for hope. He's going through the trial of his life. And instantaneously, as soon as he walks in the temple, you don't hear nothing else about Uzziah. He sees God. When you walk in the church, my friends, it don't matter what, you could be sick or discouraged or depressed or situations, whatever it is. Church, let's create an atmosphere that when somebody walks in, they don't just see their problems, but they see God. That they see God. As my wife comes to the piano this morning, as we try to forward this message, I'm just going to name the other points. Not only did all his worries were lifted, but his sins were forgiven. Wouldn't that be amazing again? We'd have such a move of God and a service that everybody could walk out and say, "You know what? I went in there a sinner, but I feel forgiven. I don't know what happened. I walked in and something just lifted me. Something just dealt with my heart. His sins were forgiven." But not only that, he left there with the call of God on his life. "Whom shall I send and who will go? Here am I. Send me." Church, I want you to understand today, all of this happened that I just named to you, all of this happened in the presence and in the majesty of Almighty God. His presence is here this morning as you stand to your feet. Do not lose the majesty. Do not lose the majesty. And as my wife plays something softly, and we move into an altar call, we're having singing tonight, but I'm going to make an altar call this morning. Make the most. Pray, church, pray. I read about so many different accounts of different things that go on in different churches. I don't want to be like a church in Revelations that when you look at the pictures of those churches now, you know what they are? Rubble. They didn't heed the call of God. And many of them, yes, there were some good, yes, some still did some good things. But I want to be somebody, and I want our church to be a church where the majesty of God can saturate this room every service. I want you to come in and see God high and lifted up. If not, we're wasting our time. If not, we are wasting our time. His presence must be here. And we don't base that, we don't take a poll and say, well, five wants it and five don't. Who does not want the presence. I want it. And you as a Christian should want it. I read about a park, and some of you may have heard this before, and I can't really pronounce the name the best. It's like Yosemite Firefall Park. It was a park that in 1872, and it was a tradition they did, and it continued for almost a whole century. This park, every year, it would take burning hot embers that would come from the top of Glacier Point, and they would burn things, and old logs that would fall down, they would burn them up there. And they would take these logs, and they would set them on fire. And there, it was a humongous fire that would happen. They would condition it to where it wouldn't grow. But they would take the embers from this fire, massive piles of it. And they did it for like a century, from 1872. And they would push these embers off the side of a mountain, if I'm not mistaken, into a lake. And it was called the Firefall. When you came up on it, it ended up becoming such a big and massive thing that multitudes would come and would sit there at that park. And every year, it would look like a firefall, fire waterfall from off top of that mountain. And I've seen pictures. It's beautiful. They did it every year until January of 1968, when the Natural Park Service ordered it to stop because of the overwhelming numbers of visitors it attracted every year. It would trample down the meadows and it would damage the natural park. So they finally put an end to it all. Some years after that, it ended in 1968, somebody came up one day to about that time of year where the fire would fall. They said they would call it the firefall every year. And somebody came up to it after they quit doing it, and they came up and was talking to the park ranger. The park ranger said, "Sir, why are you here?" He said, "I'm here to see the fire fall." And that park ranger looked back at him and said, "The fire hadn't fell here in a long, long time." Let's not make that be the testimony of the church. Multitudes used to come to the Pentecostal church to watch it burn. To watch people change. To watch people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all in the same service. You know why? Because the majesty of God was there. I don't want to be a church, and I don't want to be a part of anything that one day somebody would come here and say, "I came to see the firefall. We heard about it." Wouldn't it be a tragedy and an indictment against the Pentecostal church to look back at them and say, "Look, the fire don't fall in our movement no more. That was a long time ago." Or if somebody was to come up and say, "What about the revivals I read about? You know, and bars were closed down and people were saved and multitudes filled with the Holy Ghost." It's an indictment to look at this world and say, "That don't happen much anymore. Matter of fact, I can't remember the last time I saw that happen." That's an indictment. We're a Pentecostal church. Let's ask, pray with me as a pastor, for the majesty of God to settle in our services, every service. Church, pray at home with me. Ask when you come to church, say, "God, I'm here. Feed my heart." I don't want to be a church to say the fire used to fall. Let's show this world the fire still falls from heaven. Amen. Find you a place to pray this morning. Make most of this altar call. Empty them pews. Come around these altars and pray. Let's ask God together. Lord, I want to be just like Isaiah. Lord, I want to see the majesty of God. I want to see the presence of the Lord move in our services. We thank You, Lord, You've been moving. Thank You, God, for the Word. Thank You, God, for the services we've already had over the years and we continue to have, dear Lord. But God, I want to be in the presence of an Almighty God. I want to be like Isaiah and say, I see Him high and lifted up. High and lifted up in Jesus' name. Jesus, fill with the Holy Ghost, Lord. God, give desire.